Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grassland of the California coast. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Echo Home Chic and First Prize Pies. Women often ask the question, can I have it all? Of course you can. In the studio, we have Emily Anderson, mother, wife, designer, and author of Echo Home Weddings, When Changing a Light Bulb Just Isn't Enough, and Echo Home Chic, a living example of having it all. Welcome to Hot Grease, Emily.
Thank you.
So let's start off with, on last week, I should think on March 14th, there was an article in the New York Times titled The Femnivore's Dilemma. And I thought this would be perfect since we're going to be talking about all things home, eco, and sustainability. How do you feel about the term in general, femnivore?
Well, you know, it's a label, and if it helps people understand whatever that concept is, it doesn't bother me, but I'm fine with the word feminist. I never had a problem with that, and I kind of like to encompass maybe many of the things that are within the femnivore under feminism, which, you know, I don't know how many people will agree with me on that, but that's just me.
Some people are defining the term as describing women who are taking the very principles of self-sufficiency and personal fulfillment and going back to the home, just to give some of our listeners some reference.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it's femnivore or it's feminism. It's the idea of supporting and championing sort of some of the inherently female or feminine qualities of life, which include having children, nurturing the family, and of course these are all qualities men can share, but you know, it's championing the idea that it is important to serve good, nutritious, healthy food, and it is important to spend quality time with your children, with your partner, and you know, and also that it is important for you to care for your environment both indoors and outdoors.
So let's talk partner, life, children. Let's talk eco, weddings, and foods. Besides food, I will have to tell you that I am totally fascinated with weddings. I probably visit as many wedding blogs as food blogs. I don't know if people know that, but you actually were a pioneer in writing about the green movement. You wrote Echo Weddings.
Chic Weddings,
yeah. So what are the current eco wedding and food trends?
Well, you know, I think that it's a cultural phenomenon right now. People are starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, not just for every day and not just for special occasions, but a sort of a total lifestyle, and that would include weddings. They want to think about where their food is coming from. They want to make better decisions. I chose to start with weddings because I was coming from being the event director at, you know, one of the biggest wedding places or magazines in the business. And I'd seen a lot of the waste, and just back to your first question, I really wanted to create a life in balance for myself so that I could contribute something positive and still be in the style realm, which I really love, and then also maybe answer some of the needs within the wedding market, which is, people spend billions and billions of dollars in this industry, in the wedding market, and you know, I targeted it as from the style and the fun, mm-hmm. but also from the practical and common sense, and you know, specifically food. When people order their food for their weddings, because so much money, so much of the money of the wedding budget is spent on food. And if you backtrack and think about what an enormous difference you can make feeding your average of 175 guests with the food choices that you make, you know.
Are brides moving towards every single item at their dinner or cocktail party being local?
No.
Or are they just...
I think that's a fringe. You know, I still think that's a very, very small part. You know, most people in the United States are lucky that they can afford a wedding at all.
Mm.
You know, so the idea of, you know, a local, organic, all of that is sort of a fantasy. If people really think that the average bride and groom are going to go that route, it's extremely expensive for them at this point. There are not that that isn't an important thing mm-hmm. to aspire to, but you know, you gotta meet people where they are. That's my philosophy. You know, you can't sort of dig your heels in and say, but that's compromising my ideals. And, you know, this is kind of probably a light green attitude that I have, but I really like to meet people where they are. And so I think the average bride and groom, they are thinking in terms of, oh, well, maybe beef serving steak, that's not the only way that I can get, you know, a quote unquote really fancy dinner for my wedding guests. And the culinary explosion, you know, Jamie Oliver now sort of tackling schools and local communities, and is really hopefully sort of turning a light on in the average bride's brain that at the very least, wow, well, maybe I can serve, you know, fish, or maybe I could even serve a vegetarian meal, because they kind of go into this not knowing that much about entertaining in general, right. Much less food.
So speaking of brides coming up with alternative to the traditional things, there are great websites that are currently out around food where folks can look for favors like Foodzie. Etsy's, I think, it's definitely one of my favorites for food items as well as items to for eco lifestyle.
Yeah. No, true. Etsy, you can get non-perishable, or, you know, you can get overnighted items. But my favorite website continues to be localharvest.org because it's the oldest, it's the best. That's my opinion. I think it's just really straightforward. It gives you so many options in terms of, you know, I believe in supporting your local businesses, your local farms and growers. So
I guess I've been on Local Harvest before. So do they have vendors on there?
They what they do is they'll track down in your area, different vendors, different restaurants, different farmers. You know, it's pretty comprehensive.
Besides Local Harvest, some of your favorites on Etsy's favorite. Wedding blogs, favorite resources for food, eco-friendly food or lifestyle stuff.
Well, you know, I do love Etsy, of course, and they're, you know, homegrown Brooklyn, so gotta give a shout out to them. And they do have a lot of really great, on Etsy, there are some interesting search functions, which is super cool. You can do a local search, so mm-hmm. you can put in your town. And I actually write the shop local column for tryhandmade.com, a website that champions handmade. So I'm always going, I'm sort of virtually traveling around looking at all these amazing men and women who are out there creating things. And you can order like handmade chocolates and if you want to serve baklava or whatever, you know, there are all these just really cool different items that you can order through vendors on Etsy.
Cool. That is really cool. I I don't think I knew about the local search on Etsy. That's a really cool feature.
I mean, that's the one thing with Etsy is I think it's so chock full of information. And I mean, it's the two sides of the coin. The good thing is that they have their own search engine. They have everything, you know, they haven't partnered with a bigger entity. So you know that it's very clean and everything that's there has been vetted by them. But at the same time, sometimes it's not the same functionality as like Google that everybody's just used to and has been acclimated to. So that's, you know, but Etsy is totally worth digging around and, you know, learning more. And I just can't say enough good things about them.
So we're going to take a short break and come back with the more with Emily Anderson on Heritage Radio Network. Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. We're chatting with Emily Anderson on Hot Grease today. Emily has worked for Donna Karan, Vanity Fair Magazine, and Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia. In addition, Emily's Echo Chicness has appeared in Yoga Journal, Etsy's Wedding, and the New York Times. We have to talk Martha Stewart. I mean, I don't even know what other way to say this. Some people, you know, they're like, oh, Martha, I can't stand her. They say that, but they love her. I absolutely adore Martha Stewart. Mm. Tell me, I mean, that is like a dream. Tell me about your experience at Martha Stewart.
Yeah, it really was, for me, it was a dream. You know, I grew up sewing and crafting, and my mother was an interior designer. My grandmother was this, you know, had a wicker restoration business. Oh, my other grandmother was a gardener. My great grandmother was a seamstress. I mean, I had all these women my whole life and in my life. And then when I went to Martha Stewart, I was like, wow, so you could have majored in basket weaving and have a job, you know, because you walk around. I mean, I remember the first day that I walked around and saw the craft rooms and so it was very, very tough, but it was amazing. So
your next book, it's coming out, is it in May?
It's coming out in May. It's available online, but it's
and I have an advanced copy here. The pictures are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to the photographer Seth Smoot and his wife Kendra Smoot. Gorgeous. That are just amazing. Amazing team, and I'm lucky enough to have them as friends too.
So your tagline is rethink, reuse, and remake your way to sustainable style, eco chic home. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So definitely, I think all of your experiences in from Vanity Fair to Martha Stewart, you can see them on the pages, but it's still very sustainable. It's very eco-friendly. One particular project I know that you have in here, our great sponsor, Fairway, you have a bag that's made. Tell us about the bag that's made from Fairway.
Well, you know, I was inspired by a lot of amazing creative makers online, and I found on Instructables.com and a lot of stuff on Etsy that inspired the projects. But this bag is made fusing the plastic bags, shopping bags together. You apply heat, which I used an iron, and you can really create an alternative fabric to leather.
So is it a leather handbag with the Fairway bags on top?
No, actually the leather bag that's in there was a bag that inspired the design. That's a bag that I have that is from the 70s. That was,
gotcha.
That was my mom's, actually, and I saw that the same design, like, walking around New York, all these people started cropping up, and they were like, oh, did you get that at Urban Outfitters? And I was like, no, I found it, you know, and it's, like, water-stained. Like, no, I found it in the basement. And then I realized, wow, what a cool idea to take this, you know, recycled material and make a chic bag. So that sort of explains the whole concept of the book, which is repackaging the idea of what it is to be green. You know, it's not about buying green products necessarily. It's
right.
Just about rethinking your materials and really going back to kind of the old time, how my grandmother used to save containers and reuse them and, you know, basically make rug, you know, you make braided rugs out of clothing and you just use materials until they can no longer be used.
Two of my favorite chapters, you have a chapter kitchen, think fresh, and dining room, setting the table. What do you have under your kitchen section, a cool project?
Well, in the kitchen section, you know, it's you know, really, I like to say merchandising your food.
Ah.
So the idea of really using your food to give you visual pleasure as well as, you know, being fresh and good to eat. I like to use different bowls and put them in my refrigerator and, like, stack up my fruits and vegetables. And, you know, it's a much nicer presentation than, like, keeping everything in bags and, you know, sort of jumbled up. And so, you know, and then all sorts of ways to just kind of keep things in order, hang things up. And
I love the hanging the fruit and vegetables. You basically took, is this a strainer?
Yeah.
So what did you tie around the strainer?
Twine. It's just twine.
Oh, wow. So do you have a hook? So there's in the book, and it's on page 95. Some of you guys can probably go to Indie Bound or,
yeah.
I'm not going to say the other one, but I love Indie Bound. So go to Indie Bound and go ahead and order the book because these projects are really cool. So there's a strainer and there's twine wrapped around. And so do you just put it, how do you put a hook in the top of the ceiling or?
Yeah, you just drill a hook into the ceiling and hang it up. And there you go. And in New York, I mean, you know, I live in the city, so space is a premium. I mean, I think yeah. I have like 2 by 2 feet of counter space with 2 toddlers. It's pretty challenging. I've learned to juggle, literally.
So what inspires you? Do you just kind of, you go to a friend's house and you see something, you're like, how can I turn this into something really cool and really eco-friendly? Is it magazines, people, traveling?
Everything inspires me, but I'm pretty lazy, so I kind of like to have everything at hand. So basically for my projects, most of it is stuff that was at my house, you know, that I could just sort of like, oh, it's a wire hanger. What can I do with this wire hanger? Like snip, snip. I have like a great set of tools. I mean, I love the hardware store. It's my favorite place to go. So I like to tell people with my husband, I brought the electric drill to the relationship. So, you know, I like for it to be easy. And when I made these projects, I didn't want it to be trash art. And although I do have a bag in there, I didn't want it, you know, how many eco-friendly bags are there out there, you know? So I wanted to really explore. And so I backed into it. I thought, okay, what materials are there plenty of that everyone has, like a CD case? And then what can I make out of it that is actually purposeful? And then how can I make it look pretty? So those, every project in there came from that place. I really wanted everything to be useful, usable, and you know, there is a place for art, but this book is really about practical.
So you have 2 young kids. How old are your kids?
my kids both just had birthdays, 3 and 1.
Wow. So how do you take some of the things? I don't know. I'm just scanning through the book. I haven't seen every page. Are there things in the book that are kid friendly or things that are very specific to kids?
Oh yeah, there are definitely, you know, three is a great age because they can really start to get super crafty. And, you know, my daughter loves to help me make things. And there are some holiday projects in there. Definitely, you know, most of the projects are probably not really geared towards kids. But, you know, I'm hopefully going to be working on my next book, which is, guess what, about kids, you know, weddings, home, kids. So
no, I think it's perfect. It's perfect for, you know, what we've basically talked about in the first half of the show about women. I mean, the reality of it is we do everything. We have to be well-versed in kids. I mean, how to take care of kids, even if you don't have any, I think you should know something about how to take care of kids. So that's exciting. So your book it is actually available online now.
Yeah, it's available online, and you can come to my website, emilyanderson.com, to find out. I'm actually reading at Word Brooklyn, April 22nd.
Really?
Yeah, April 22nd for Earth Day. So come down and
That's in Greenpoint. Not too far. That's a really cool bookstore. I think quite a few of our guests or hosts on the show have mentioned Word Bookstore.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So, Emily, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Grease. All our listeners, if you want more information about Emily's three books, you can go to emilyanderson.com, and we look forward to having you on Hot Grease again.
Yeah. Thanks. Take care.
We're going to take a short break and back with more Hot Grease.
There's a walk along and stumble. Trains rumble in my head. So I breeze along and grumble. I think about you instead. In a piece of pecan pie. You, that's all I want. Just a piece of pecan pie.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat. Nat, we miss you today. He's not here. This program is sponsored by Hearst Ranch, family business since 1865. For more information on Hearst Ranch, visit HearstRanch.com. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. What's your favorite? Apple, pumpkin, rhubarb, pecan? Last fall, the first Brooklyn Pie Bake Off declared pecan pie as the winner and the favorite. The top prize pie baker, Allison Cave, joins us to talk first prize pies. Welcome to Hot Grease, Allison.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Do you have a physical blue ribbon?
I have to say the prizes were great. I got a much better than blue ribbon. I got a crocheted pie symbol.
Oh, wow.
Which is just so cool. And a bunch of really great books and a beautiful bag from Bags for the People who were it was a fundraising event for Bags for the People who teach people how to make, you know, bags, reusable tote bags out of, you know, recycled fabrics and things like that.
Right. So. Yeah. Cause I think t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I've seen them at an event before. You can bring in your old t-shirts and turn it into a recyclable bag.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you guys raised, I think, maybe $1,000 for them, or?
I would think so, because there were a lot of pies and there were a lot of attendees. Yeah, I know.
I was there. So, First Prize Pies, what a very lovely, simple name.
Thank you. That was actually, I have to give credit to my boyfriend for that, who, I should say, won the Best Sweet Pie Prize in the event as well.
Oh, really? What pie did he have?
He did the apple cider cream pie.
Okay, I didn't have that.
I actually am going to feature it. It'll be Jay's apple cider cream pie.
Ah. So. So what other names did you have floating around before you came up with first prize?
Oh, there were a bunch. You know, an old nickname of mine is Lady Cave, and all my friends wanted it to be Lady Cave Pies, but no one really knows how to properly pronounce my last name, and I just knew I would go crazy having to tell people how to pronounce it over and over. So that didn't quite happen. And some people said Alley Pies, and it was all kind of about my name, but I really, once Jay just kind of threw this out, I was like, that's it. Because it's, you know, the whole idea of starting this company was very much like instigated by participating in the Bake Off. And so I felt like it just fit. And it also really evokes the kind of sensibility I'm trying to put forward, which is that sort of like return to like the right. homemade kind of, you know, county fair style pie.
I actually saw, this is a brief side note, Pie Lab, which is in I think they're in Mississippi or either Alabama. They were nominated today, and they're a pie company for the best restaurant design. Very simple. Wow. You'll have to Google them. Yeah. But let's talk the bourbon ginger pecan pie and the s'more pie. Mm-hmm. You brought that today for me to have. Yeah. I've had the ginger pecan, but let's talk the pie. What's in it?
The bourbon ginger pecan I've been making forever, and so I knew I would participate with that one. I also threw in as a wild card a s'more pie, which the competition, one of the criteria was that you had to include a local ingredient.
Right.
And for that one, I used Mass Brothers chocolate, which I love.
We love them. Yes.
But for the pie, it honestly was way too rich, like way too dark. So now I've fine-tuned it, and now I'm making it with milk chocolate. It's a milk chocolate ganache. It's a graham cracker crust, milk chocolate ganache, and then I make a marshmallow fluff that I brulee. Mm. So it gives you that kind of toasted, you know, s'more flavor. For the bourbon ginger pecan, it's kind of a classic bourbon pecan pie, but I use three kinds of ginger in the filling. I do a ground ginger, a crystallized ginger, and then fresh ginger as well.
So it's the three gingers.
Yeah. I'm all about, like, I learned that from my mom, like, layering flavor, different kind of forms of one flavor to really give you a more complex kind of, you know, sensibility.
I have to ask this question. I'm sure my listeners are thinking, everyone that's making a pie, it's, to me, it's all about the crust.
Mm, yeah. I'm pretty picky with my crust, I have to say.
So this crust.
This is a ginger, a graham cracker crust, because it's a s'more pie, so you've got to have a graham cracker. And that is, like, the easiest. Oh, it's got a plate on it.
Look, this is why I'm here, like, why won't this
you could just eat right out of it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you see me? I was trying to cut this. I'm like, what's going on?
But the graham cracker crust is the easiest one to make. You basically just take graham crackers, blitz them up, mix them with some butter, put it in a shell, bake it for a little bit, you're good to go. For my pecan and the other pies that have a classic crust, I use a mixture of all-purpose and cake flour. If I'm not baking for vegetarians, I use rendered leaf lard, in addition to butter. If I am cooking for vegetarians, I do an all-butter crust. I don't really enjoy cooking with vegetable shortening.
Two things.
Mm.
I'm having the s'more pie. It is absolutely delicious.
Thank you.
I love it. It's not too sweet. I was thinking maybe it'll be sweet, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's just right. It's really good.
Thank you.
So I want to talk about this lard crust, and this is a funny question. So when I have vegetarian friends over and I make a pie or biscuits, can I just not tell them? I'm joking.
You would be surprised at how often I get that question. I mean, you actually can't taste it. So if you really wanted to slip it by, you could. I'm not going to go on record as saying that's what you should do.
I mean, really?
But it's certainly, I am sure that, you know, not necessarily with my pies, but I am sure that there have been a number of vegetarians who have unwittingly eaten leaf lard pie crust. And I'm sure they enjoyed it because it tastes really good and it's super flaky and delicious.
So you have the s'mores, you have the pecan ginger. Your other treats.
I do a chocolate peanut butter pretzel, which is like a icebox pie with a pretzel crust and a peanut butter cream and then just a layer of like a dark chocolate glaze over the top. I do kind of a classic sweet potato pie, which I just love. I do a shoo fly pie, which is one of my favorites. which is like sort of an Amish classic with molasses and maple syrup and a lot of brown butter and sort of like a streusel crumb topping.
So where can we find First Prize Pies?
Well, starting tonight, tomorrow, Fatty Q Restaurant, which just opened in Williamsburg, is going to be offering my pies as dessert. Which I'm very excited. And I have to say that is my brother is the executive chef at Fatty Crab, Corwin Cave. And
we love them.
So it's like all in the family. I'm also selling through my website. And on Saturdays, I sell at my mother's shop in the Essex Street Market, Ronnie Sue's Chocolates. And starting in the end of April, I will be at the Hester Street Fair all weekend, every weekend through December.
Okay, that's really cool. I have to ask you.
Yes.
So do you prefer ice cream or whipped?
It depends on the pie, honestly. I think that for something like pecan, I like ice cream. Like, I like it to be a little warm with some vanilla ice cream or maybe like, you know, like butter pecan or something just to go nuts with the nuts. But for like the shoe fly, I make a maple whipped cream for that, which is just like so delicious and light. So I really do think I can't give a universal answer to that.
And you have you have the full, 12-inch?
I do the full 9-inch pie.
Okay.
And then I also do minis, which are 4 inches, which is what you're eating now, which are nice. It's sort of like a one-person pie. It's about a fifth of a pie if you do the math, which I had to figure that out, the pie R squared thing. And then I'm also working on pie lollipops, which is literally like a lollipop stick with a pie on the end. So that'll
delish.
TBD. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to partner. We need to have some kind of pie event. I think pies really bring people together.
Yeah. I mean, the Bake Off was a super convivial, community-oriented thing. I so enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've gone to like another pie bake-off thing afterwards. It's just, I don't know, it's something about desserts and pie and people being together, folks, just to get really excited. So
yeah,
we should partner up this summer.
I would love that.
Allison, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Grease. We look forward to having more pie
in the
coming weeks.
All right.
Thank you again, listeners, for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Join me every Monday at 3:30. Until then, always take the road less traveled.